All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose. All right, welcome back to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I'm your host, Julian Gill, and today I've got another book author with me. It is the mighty Elaine Balicia from Japan, famed across the world for putting out high-quality product. He announces it, he creates it, he offers it for sale, and it arrives in your postbox. He really understands how the process is supposed to work. Welcome back, Alan.
Thank you. Thank you for all those kind words. I'm blushing already.
Good. Let's keep going. You know, you're putting out a book that is going to be one of the subjects that I was really into as a collector for an important part of my life. And it is Made in Japan. It covers Japanese vinyl. Is it strictly vinyl?
It is vinyl, strictly vinyl, and vinyl related. But yes, to answer the question you didn't ask, no CDs, no videos, no DVDs. Vinyl, analog, love, 12-inch and 7-inch.
Which is where all the joy is. It's a arcane area. Well, it's not arcane because it's very popular. And that's the problem with it, is that the popularity has driven up the cost of obtaining things, and a limited supply and extreme demand has made it a very competitive market to get into. Just a quick personal collector story. I was very much into the Japanese Kiss singles. That was my area. I found just about every single one or version that was released, different cover textures, some with text, some without text, blue labels, camel, Casbahs, all the variants. But I could never get the V1 and V2 promos, and I most certainly could never get those two pesky VIP Polystar reissues of the first two singles, so I gave up and sold the lot. It was like, if I was not going to be able to get them all, I wasn't going to bother. What's inspired you to go and really delve into providing a single topic book that many of us are just going to buy to look at the pictures?
Well, like you, I have been interested in collecting Kiss vinyl from Japan for decades. I remember exactly when it started. It started in the summer of 1989. And it's a big part of my collection as well. I love the albums. I love the singles, like you just mentioned. And I've been living in Japan for almost 30 years now. So I'm kind of on the sacred ground. And my first book was exactly 10 years ago. And the first book was about the story of Kiss in Japan, from the discography, but also the tours and also the press. So I did that book, which encompassed everything. This book is really a vinyl guide. So you have the albums, you have the labels, the OB, the inserts. And what's interesting about Japanese albums, Japanese releases that everyone likes so much, is that they come with extras. So we cover the extras, the posters, the stickers, all of that into one volume dedicated only to Japan. And I think Japan deserves it because, like you said, it's a very popular, there's a lot of demand and lots of questions sometimes and lots of confusion as well. So I thought making this book coming from Japan about stuff made in Japan would answer some questions. And if you don't have questions, and like you said, you just like to look at photos, then that the book's for you too.
And that's one of the key things that I do like about your books, is that you don't just include vinyl, you include ephemera, ads, printed material and obviously the inserts. But we're still learning about Japan and KISS in Japan. We're still learning about KISS, period. Every day, it seems there's something new. And I remember I sent you a memo a month ago, I think it was, thereabouts, that had, I think it was, what was it, a cloth bag proposed as a point of sale item for the elder. And I had never heard of that. And I'm shocked. I mean, I know about some of the little chalk keys that were included, but getting a complete and accurate list of that sort of thing, because it seems to vary, and a lot of items seem to have been put in different releases by different parties over the year. How have you approached trying to categorize all of those special inserts that have been included over the years?
That's a very good question. I knew in advance how much space I needed for the book, and there's about one page per album, and some have a spread, so 2 pages, because I knew what albums have been released from 1975 to 2016. So the extras, like that you mentioned, are presented with the album when they were inserted or offered, mentioned on the OB, as what would collectors consider a complete copy. So for example, Asylum, maybe not many people know that it came with a poster. People know about the Iron On sticker sheet, but you also got a poster if you pre-ordered Asylum. So that
Wait, you just got me, because I didn't know it came with a poster. I knew about the sticker. So, wow.
Voila, spoiler alert. Shoot, I should have had a little flag. So there are things like that. So whatever came as advertised as a gift with the album is presented with the album. Other little extras like tchotchkes, like you mentioned, have a separate section. The flyers have a separate section. The press releases are presented separately. The posters, there are some promo posters that were not like dealer display posters, are on a separate section. So you have the 12-inch record, the vinyl, you have the singles, and then you have the extras. And I don't want to spoil there are a couple of surprise sections as well, but you will have everything related to the vinyl releases, I can see the reservation cards are one interesting example of ephemera that is very Japan only, I think. So the posters, the press releases / flyers, and the promo posters are already set. And magazine ads as well. I included ads that were in magazines to promote or hype the album releases. So in total, it's 160 pages, and I think it's a great format.
What shocks me about this publication is you boldly proclaimed 820 photos contained within those 160 books. Is it 820 pictures?
According to InDesign, yes, it is. Now, I'm not going to, well, someone can probably, who's maybe suspicious, can start counting them with their fingers. But InDesign tells me that the whole package, the 160 pages, just have 821, I think, photos or images.
That's just spectacular, and I can't wait. I mean, when we go back in terms of the internet history, there was a website that was dedicated to Japanese releases. That it was made in Japan, and the fellow's name, I think, was Garrison something. But he did, I think it was 1997. I've got a screen cap that I'm going to put into this from 2001 for his site. He tried to categorize rarity. He tried to categorize all of the inserts. Do you remember that site? And has it been an inspiration in any way during your travel as a KISS fan?
I forgot about that site. Yes, Garrison Spick was his name. And I met him a few times in Tokyo as well. So we had one, I remember one particular time, one weekend, we met in Ikebukuro. I was going out of a record store. He was going in, say, hey, what did you get? Well, I got this Alive 2, and I got this Love Gun. And so we chatted, and I knew about his website, which was very well done, very impressive at the time. I think he was one of the first to try to tell the story of Japanese vinyl. And at the time, there were some missing information. And I know from talking with him that he didn't speak Japanese, so he could not read certain things. I can read Japanese. I've read a lot of documentation and articles. So I'm able to say this came with this and not that and the other. For example, the stickers and some of the insert that are most people are confused or don't know where they come from. If you read magazines, if you read what's on the OB sometimes, or if you sort of cross-check information, you can tell, okay, this came out in 77, this came out in 78. If you just base your knowledge on, oh, I bought this LP and this was in there, it belongs there, maybe you're wrong. You need to do some research. And it's fun. It's a passion. And that's what I tried to convey and try to share with everyone in that book.
And trying to fit it into 160 pages is also a very brave task, because as we all know, trying to keep within that parameter is very challenging. It makes you really organize your thoughts as well, doesn't it? Because I can go to 500-600 pages. You can't. You've got to do 160 or not, right?
I think it's a great format for multiple reasons. Logistically speaking, for the weight, for the way you hold the book, and it's concise. I think it's all killer, no fillers, I think is the expression. So that's the way I roll.
So I've always thought of, you know, in terms of some of the core Japanese holy grails, and the phrase holy grail gets thrown around an awful lot and means an awful lot of different things, but for me back in the day it was always the originals too. That was something, you know, when I was becoming a collector, not a fan, a collector, it was something that you might see at expos, which I didn't go to. I only heard about it from people who went, and it was like, I saw an originals too, and harps and violins would play in the background. Because it was one of those items that was very expensive back in the day. It's actually dropped in price and has stayed very steady at around $350, you know, for a complete copy. What to you is a holy grail of vinyl? Would it be the one that I was never able to obtain, that I look jealously at when anyone posts, I got a copy of the Best of Kiss, I think that was a mail order record?
What is my holy grail?
And it's going to vary from collector to collector, isn't it?
I didn't think of that. But it's true that the originals too was the must-have album when you collected Japanese vinyl, because, well, first of all, because it only came out in Japan in that format, a compilation of Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over, and Love Gun. It has a very cool gift, which are four paper masks, so very 70s Japan. I remember it was up to, you could see if you saw one, if there was one was in the list, it was easily $400-$500 back in the day. There were a lot cheaper when I came to Japan. Fortunately, I was able to get one for a quarter of that price. As for a holy grail, my personal holy grail, there are some items I have never been able to catch, and that is a complete copy of Creatures of the Night, and the two gifts is a sheet of stickers and a small clipboard. I had once the sticker sheets, but I've never been able to find the little plastic clipboard that was a gift with Creatures of the Night. So that would be a really nice piece to catch for me.
Have you ever tried to determine why someone would come up with the idea of, hey, we're going to do this bonus item. How about a clipboard?
No, it remains a mystery. You can argue that some gifts and items are pretty silly. The clipboard would be high in that chart. What else? You had the bags were okay, I suppose. The stickers are easy to put in, but a clipboard certainly didn't make much sense. But at the same time, in Holland, I think they had a big paper box of paper, right? Like post-it notes. So I don't know what they were on a stationary craze back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess a promo item's a promo item. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's got the band's logo on it and it draws someone to ask a question or buy a record. That's what it's all about. So Obies. Obies tell a very large part of the story of Kiss in Japan, don't they? Because they changed. There were different Obies. There were additions to Obies, little strips that would be included on some. And the first time I really noticed Obies was with The Elder, because I had an initial availability pressing of the record, which listed all the tchotchkes, all the bonus items. And then I had a later one, and that was gone. And all of a sudden I saw, well, now there's differences in Obies. So I started looking back at other albums. Do you try and tell that story within this book as well, to show the variation and the different Obies that were included at different times for some of the releases?
Yes, that is an essential part of explaining and telling the story of the Kiss vinyl. So they are, and the albums are presented in a chronological order by series. And there is emphasis on the variants, because that's what the fun is for collectors. Why is my Dress to Kill, why does it have this OB and then has another OB? But wait, the label is the same, but then later the label is different. So I explain and I tell the story. You have, I have one here between, oops, let's see. So you have, I don't know if you can see it because it's blurred, but you have the Well Dressed to Kill. It's a topical album, well, isn't it?
And it's the album of the day, isn't it?
The album of the day. So you have the original released in 75 with this red OB with a blue label. But then you also have a camel label, this one. And then a year or two later, you have another Dressed to Kill with a different OB plus an extra OB. And you have, between Dress to Kill, you have about four different label variants and about the same type of different OB. So, yes, I think it was very important to explain the difference and people to understand why it's different. It's basically because of the timeline. And that's sort of the way the book gets through every release. It's the timeline and an explanation of the different OB catalog numbers and label variants.
Oh, hey, you're still here, watching or listening. Why don't you hit that subscribe button or click the like one? And if you want even more, click on the join button on YouTube. Thanks for your support. One of the things that is a big part of the American, in particular, collectors for the really deep aficionados is pressing plants and those variations. Did Victor or Polystar have multiple pressing plants in Japan, or were they strictly doing single plants, so there's very little difference between the actual vinyl? And I've never thought of that question until this moment.
I don't go that far, I have to say. I'm pleased with the label variants. I have no interest in the different of typeface or plant recordings.
But this is one millimeter off to the left, yeah, versus no. This version.
No, not in this book, not for this guy, sorry.
What have been some of the challenges that you faced in putting this together? Because I know that you would want it to be complete. Are there any things that you struggled on or that provided a greater challenge than you thought they would be in order to include them in the book?
Well, I obviously relied on my network of friends and elite collectors who supplied a lot of photos, because you can't have everything. But fortunately, I've known them for, and you know them too, for several years. I know who has what and what I need to ask this person and more than another person. And I have to say, everybody was very gracious and very supportive. When I explained what I was working on, they immediately jumped into action and sent photos. So I'm very, very grateful to them. The challenge is really taking a good photo, I think, for some people, and including myself. Posters are a nightmare, not a nightmare, but they're difficult. They're challenging because they're big. They may have defects. You may have some reflection. So taking photos of posters have always been a challenge for me. Other than that, like I said, I had some great support from elite collectors. So I was able to get the labels that I missed, that I don't have in my collection, relatively fast. And everyone really got together to help me complete this book in as soon as I could.
Yeah, one of the things that I've done this year for the very first time is I took all the scans of the backs of the overlays. How do you refer? What's the correct terminology for a Japanese single and the picture that is included, but it's not a picture sleeve? Is there a correct term to use?
No, there isn't. There isn't. I struggle with that part as well. It's a photo, but it's not a photo because there's the liner notes is on the back and it's not a cover. So it is a paper overlay over the generic dust sleeve. Yes, it's not a very clean way of explaining it. I struggle with that as well.
Yeah, so I translated using AI all of those back texts to see if there was anything of interest. If you read Japanese, then you've probably already read them. There's some fun stuff on the back of it. Some of it's very dated in terms of being, you know, just kind of gushing fan PR from the day or just stating the obvious. Some of them very much say what KISS is. What is this that you hold in your hands as a band, as an entity? That's a really fun area as well. Are there, and you know, when it comes to the singles and to the PR things and to the ephemera, because you've mentioned promo items and all that, what are some of the standouts that you think the fans are going to really get a kick out of when they get to see them in your book?
I do translate bits and pieces of OBs and the promo hype. If people are interested, I have translated some of those in my first book, The Illustrated Guide to KISS in Japan, 10 years ago. And yes, they are pure hype and PR. Some were written by the director of Casablanca, from Victor. Some were written by the president of the Japan Fan Club. So obviously he's a big fan. Others were by radio DJs or journalists that, of course, were gushing over KISS. So yes, it was to, you know, get the fans excited and present the band in the best light possible. There was no room for being critical. This was pure hype and pure promotion. There was a funny one, I think, at the back of the first single at Rock and Roll All Night. Says this band recorded a double live album in Detroit that will come out later this year, and I think KISS is destined to be one of the biggest acts in rock. And you go, yeah, well done.
Yes, I remember that, and that July, was absolutely July, spot on.
In July 75, that was a pretty good guess. So yes, well done, whoever wrote that one.
They indeed just signed the deal for distribution with Victor, and Dressed to Kill had just come out, and they are saying that this band is going to be big and important. Way to get on board. It made me smile when I saw that.
And the OB on Dressed to Kill again is written by relatively prominent journalist, and he wrote on the OB, or is it on the OB or is it on in the liner notes? But he said, I judged Kiss by their looks too quickly and thought they were just another useless New York band. But by listening to this album and listening to the composition and those songs, I have to retract and apologize. Kiss has some really good songs, and they and those songs will be are really good rock and roll, something like that, which is quite remarkable. Again, we're talking about June 75. They are nowhere at that point. So yes, there's some pretty cool stuff. It doesn't get, I mean, it's not that high level. Sometimes they have some really goofy and some silly essays as well, but those ones, the early ones, are usually the best ones.
I've got three questions left, just so you know.
Okay.
Are you including the Peter Criss records that were released, Let Me Rock You, and which was only on vinyl, and Out of Control on, I think that was Polystar. Are they in your book as well, or is it strictly Kiss?
It is strictly Kiss. So boo. I did not... Did you say boo? Sorry. Well, we can work together on another book for that if you want. But no, it's Kiss. It's Kiss music. So when you are in Kiss, you're part of the book. If you leave Kiss, you're
out of the book.
as you know, there are also some fans are aware of this music. How to say guitar techniques of Ace Frehley. Presented by a Japanese guitar player, and he explains and he teaches how to play the guitar. It's Kiss music, but it's not Kiss.
Not Kiss.
It's not by Kiss. So also those two are not in there.
Yeah, I kind of thought that would be the case for that one, because it's been determined long ago that was not Ace Frehley picking apart his music. Down to the last two now. Why do you think Japan remains so popular? That you can't basically go on Facebook without Kiss Japan this, Kiss Japan that. Why? What do you think draws everyone to being so interested in Kiss's history in Japan to this day?
Isn't that a good question? It's a very difficult question. I think the hype worked wonders. It was a perfect match when they toured in 77, the way it was packaged, the way it was broadcast, the way it was advertised. It was just a fantastic PR machine at that time. And we have probably the best testimony, the best audio and video with the Young Music Show. Kiss at its peak, masterfully produced by NHK, engineered by Eddie Kramer, and they look great, they sound great, they play great. That really changed the scene of the rock music scene in Japan. So many artists are saying that they saw Kiss, or they became Kiss fans at that time. And Japan, I think, in the West, broadly speaking, has always been fascinating. Everyone seems to love Japan. Whenever I say, I live in Japan, wow, Japan is amazing. And everybody loves coming to Japan. Everybody loves Japanese food. Everybody loves Japanese packaging, Japanese games, Japanese anime, Japanese everything. And that includes Japanese Kiss vinyl. We love Kiss vinyl already. In addition, you have some cool OB, some great tech, some exotic design, some presents, perfect quality, the cardboard, the paper, the van, everything is so perfect. I think people are just, people are excited and they're showing it. And it's the image of Kiss added to that is just perfect, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, very true. And you just touched on it at the end of your answer there. Quality. There is a respect. Japanese are legendary for respect and manners, but that also translates into how they treat product, whether it's, you know, you could see it in on food shows, you can see it on travel shows, and you can see it in Kiss vinyl. There's a great deal of respect in which that material is treated for release. You mentioned NHK and the quality there, the quality in Music Life, the quality in LF, and the fanzines now a thing generally of the past. Oh, wait, you've got newsletter number 12 coming out, so fanzines are not gone in Japan. Fanzines are alive and well, and you're putting out newsletters. Is there a primary focus to newsletter number 12?
It's attached to the book because it's the pre-order premium, so to speak, because there is a special feature in there which I will not spoil, so people can still have the surprise. It's not a good necktie. It's a little surprise. I had to change a couple of pages, unfortunately, to reflect the horrible news we were all had to deal with a couple of weeks ago. But it was supposed to be the companion or the little extra to the book. So there is some pages related to the vinyl. Yes.
In that sense, I'm glad that you're able to change a couple of pages to reflect recent sad activities. That's a worthy change, and very nice that you're able to do so. And then the last question, which is something that you've mentioned, the 10th anniversary of Kiss in Japan. Is it time for a 10th anniversary printing of Kiss in Japan, Elaine? Because that really, when you entered this arena with that work, it was staggering in terms of the quality and the attention to detail that you put into it. And I know when I look back at my stuff a decade later, there's things that I would like to change. There's things that have changed in terms of corrections. So I'm just going to poke you with a stick. A 10th anniversary edition of that first work?
Well, I did a 5th anniversary 5 years ago.
But it's the 10th. This one goes to 10.
That's right. But this is my third book this year, which is absolutely unbelievable. Well, third if I count the revisiting of your book, of course, in addition to Kiss at Budokan. So I think this is, if I get questions, are you going to re-release Kiss in Japan? I think I guess people are asking about vinyl more than about the tours and the photos. So this book is sort of an update on the discography. It's complete. It has all the photos you want or need, the labels, high quality, larger photos. I'm able, because it's only Japan, I can put large size photos. You can really look at the labels nicely, at the covers, at the obis, everything. So this is, in a way, my 10th anniversary present from me to you, in a way. Let's say this is the 10th anniversary of Kiss in Japan. It's made in Japan.
Made in Japan. 160 glossy illustrated color pages of pure Japanese vinyl bliss. That's exactly. A great sales line. Where can people find you to order the book, and what is your current delivery timeline and those details?
Yes, as always, the website is kissontour74-83.com, in one word, kissontour74-83.com. I had to delay the start and delay the pre-order. I think it will go through the end of the month, so October 31st, November 1st. Then it goes to the printer. I will start shipping no later than December 1st. So I will start shipping December 1st. You will not get it December 1st. If I get it a week earlier, a few days earlier, I will start shipping earlier. But by December 1st, I will have start shipping the book. How long will it take to get to your mailbox? I don't know. But maybe by Christmas.
I'm sure the people at the post office have missed you tremendously. And this is this is going to be your last book this year, right?
Yes, I think it's going to be my last. I work fast, but not that fast.
Elaine Belisha, thank you very much for taking the time to talk about Made in Japan. I'm excited for this. I'm looking forward to having all of that Japanese vinyl back on my shelf in a much smaller format than it would if I actually collect this stuff anymore, and far more economically viable. So yes, thank you very much for continuing to focus your passion for Japan for the rest of us to enjoy.
Thank you, Julian. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.